HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus, which causes AIDS, is pretty much the same virus it always was. But our ability to deal with the virus, to treat its effects, to stop it before it leads to AIDS, has changed greatly over the years. So the fear that once accompanied HIV is generally gone, or at least lesser, and that leads health workers to concerns that the numbers of cases could climb once again. Coos County, for example, saw a noticeable rise in cases this year. Let's catch up on the numbers and the ongoing efforts to educate the public about HIV. Our guest is Amanda McCluskey, who is the program director at the HIV Alliance based in Eugene. Hi, Amanda.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you back on the exchange. Give us a sketch, if you would, about the general level of concern about HIV in the state of Oregon and within your particular zone of influence.
Yeah. So our zone of influence is, we do case management in 13 counties in Oregon. Coos County is one of those counties that we serve. And we did see an increase in tests there this year. A couple years back, we also saw an increase in new positives in Lane County as well. And we know that STDs across the board are on the rise. So, it makes sense that HIV would be on the rise along with that. We're also doing a lot across the state. The End HIV campaign is a statewide campaign that is looking at testing, getting people engaged in prevention activities, and then getting people engaged in treatment. So we know we're finding more positives now as well.
Oh, okay. So it's a case of not only are there more cases showing up, but because of the fact that more people are getting tested, you're going to see some more as well?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if in the process of dealing with HIV, and the Alliance has been around for a while and obviously managing the cases all this time, if there was a concern that as the ability to cope with the virus, to medically treat it better, improved, if there was a concern that people might be a little more nonchalant about it.
Yeah, we've definitely seen that. And I think we've seen that across the board for STDs, including HIV. People are a little bit less worried about using condoms. We're seeing more people reporting not using condoms. And we're seeing more complacency, I think, around HIV. It is a lot less scary now. It is a chronic disease that people manage throughout their lives. We have people on our caseload who are elderly, who have been living with this disease for a long time and have full, great lives. So it's not as scary as it used to be, and that's wonderful. But I do think one of the consequences there is that it's less scary, so people are less motivated to use condoms. We know that HIV is transmitted through unprotected sex and also through sharing of needles. Those are the main two ways that it's transmitted. And we have such great needle exchange programs across our service area that we really don't see much. We don't see many new positives from folks who are sharing needles. We really see new positives among people who are having high-risk sex. And primarily that's among men who have sex with men, although in some of these most recent clusters, we have seen some heterosexual folks who are new positives now. So it is shifting a little bit. Although men who have sex with men do continue to be the highest risk population in Oregon, but like I said, we are seeing that shift a little bit.
All right, I was going to ask you about whether needles were more of a problem. You're saying they're not, but the supposition would have been that given that heroin is on the upswing, the use of heroin, yeah, because of the fact you got mixed in with the whole opioid prescription drug epidemic, I would have made the assumption that more people at least were using needles, but it sounds like that's not really a factor.
Yeah, I do agree. I think more people are using needles. We're seeing more utilization of our needle exchange programs over the last couple of years. But what we're seeing is that folks are not sharing needles, which is wonderful. We're really glad that people are not sharing needles. That's one less challenge for folks to have to deal with, if they're looking at, accessing treatment and no longer using, and then they also have to deal with a chronic disease for the rest of their life. That can be really challenging. So we're glad to see that folks are utilizing needle exchange and not sharing needles, and we're not seeing many new positives among injection drug users. But like I said, primarily it's among high-risk sex activities, so unprotected sex.
We are talking to Amanda McCluskey from the HIV Alliance based in Eugene, managing HIV cases in 13 counties, including Coos County, which, as we heard, had an increase. You can join the conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760. by phone. You can join by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about that spike in Coos County, because one of the things that can happen, it looks like, is if there are not very many cases in the first place, if it's in single digits, then having a few more show up can represent a high percentage increase.
Yeah, correct. I think we've seen a couple of spikes on the coast. We saw one in Florence a couple of years back, and it was a cluster very similar to the Coos cluster, where it is around a couple of folks who are all connected to each other. So that's what we're seeing there. What we found is that once one or two of those folks starts testing for HIV, then we're able to identify the entire cluster and get everyone tested. And then what we find is when folks do get tested and they learn about their status, they change their behavior. They take the steps necessary to protect themselves and their partners and their future partners. So once we can identify all of the folks who are new positive, newly positive with HIV, and then engage them in care, we're able to slow that down or completely stop that cluster from getting larger. And that's why it's so, so important that folks get tested. We're offering testing in Coos County every other week at the health department there, and we do a lot of outreach online. We do outreach on some of the apps that folks use to meet each other, and also out in the community, so we can find folks and get them tested. We also talk with the new positives and let them know to let their partners know that they can come and get tested by us as well.
I wonder, Amanda, if it's somewhat easier to deal with HIV infections in a smaller county, a smaller population base like Coos County, because, I mean, people know each other, there are fewer people in the population to spread to, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that can be the case. You know, you can make it a little more limited. I think one of the things that we worry about, too, is that, you know, sometimes with smaller communities, word can spread, and people can be very concerned about their confidentiality. So we worry that there are folks who are sort of not accessing care because they're worried that other people in the community will find out that they now are living with HIV. So we do see some people in those communities will travel to our other testing sites, like we'll travel to Eugene or to Roseburg or somewhere outside of their own community to get tested. So we are happy to see that. But we do worry a little bit about that stigma that you can find in any community. Mm-hmm. But I think in small communities, sometimes that can be a little tougher.
Let me bring another guest in here. We have with us now Dr. Sean Schaefer, who is the medical director for the HIV, STD, and TB programs at the Oregon Health Authority. Dr. Schaefer, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you here. I want to talk about STDs generally. We've been focusing a bit on HIV. Amanda did mention that STDs are generally of concern. I wonder what the rate of rise is in Oregon versus California, for example, which we talked to a few weeks ago.
Well, in fact, since 2007, so just over a decade, we've seen several thousand percent increases in both gonorrhea and syphilis in Oregon in general, and specifically in many of the counties in southern Oregon. This isn't, as you just inferred, isn't a phenomenon that's specific to Oregon, but a lot of states in the U.S. have experienced this just incredible increase in what we might, you know, some people might think of as more traditional sexually transmitted infections.
All right. So when I look at the HIV numbers in particular in Oregon, are they as much of an issue versus the other STDs? Like you just mentioned, you know, syphilis, gonorrhea, and it looks like chlamydia is up there too.
Well, yeah. Well, one could never say that HIV is not an issue, although happily, HIV cases overall in Oregon have actually declined. In the mid-1990s, we had over 500 new HIV infections a year, and in 2017, we experienced about 200 new infections among Oregonians. So HIV rates are declining. However, that's, you know, set against this backdrop of, you know, frankly, a statewide and national epidemic of other sexually transmitted infections.
epidemic then? And what we've gotten Amanda's take on this, which I assume is similar to yours. Why would people be showing so many new cases of STDs?
Well, that's a frequent question and a tough one to answer. But some important issues are at play here. I think I overheard a bit of the conversation. At least Amanda mentioned briefly the emergence of applications that smartphone apps that people use to find sex partners makes it easier to have multiple partners. It's not clear if the apps themselves are responsible, but it's certainly easier for people to find anonymous sex partners, those who are prone to do that. In general, condom use has also declined since the 1990s in this country, and STDs are also associated with illicit drug use, in particular stimulants like methamphetamine, and all that sort of plays on the context of an overwhelmed public health infrastructure. We just don't have enough boots on the ground, and that's definitely true in Southern Oregon to investigate these cases and to do what's necessary to control their spread. In addition, there's just frankly insufficient screening on the part of the healthcare system to recognize these infections. And actually, that brings up an important point in that many, if not most, of the sexually transmitted diseases that are important are actually asymptomatic. That means they don't really show any signs when people become infected. So they unwittingly spread and essentially propagate the outbreak without knowing that they're infected themselves. That's why screening testing for these infections is really important. And frankly, we're just not doing enough of it.
Amanda McCluskey, give us an idea of what's that like, because if people don't really know that there's something that they've got, then they got to, like, they're going to find out weeks, if not months later, it sounds like, and then they have to go back and figure out, oh boy, who was I with around that time? It sounds fairly complicated.
Yeah, it can be, especially like Sean mentioned, with people using smartphone apps. A lot of times the partners that they had previously won't be on the app anymore. They don't necessarily have names and contact information. They have their conversation on the app, but that may be gone months later. So it can be really difficult to track down partners. We work closely with the health departments to report, any information that we gather from folks so that they can help track down the partners. But yeah, that can be very difficult. We work with the clients directly, too, so that they can, if they still have that person's contact information, that they can message them. But that's why we really focus on doing a lot of outreach so that even if those partners, even if the original person can't find their partners, that maybe we can find them through our outreach separate from that person.
How much outreach, let me just remind folks, we're talking about sexually transmitted diseases in Oregon, generally on the rise. You heard epidemic levels in the minds of health authority officials, tied in with this HIV, which has been less of a concern over the years, but also shows some spikes here and there. We're talking to Dr. Sean Schaefer, medical director of the HIV-STD-TB program at the Oregon Health Authority, and Amanda McCluskey, who's the program director at the HIV Alliance based in Eugene. You can join in, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Amanda, when we talk about outreach, though, not just post facto, but pre-event, I mean, what are some of the places you try to go, particularly in a world where it's not so much about reaching people physically anymore as it is about reaching them through their smartphones?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the things that we're doing a lot of outreach on those apps, so particularly Grindr, Scruff, some of the other ones that we know that folks use. And we base that on the data that we collect from folks that we test as far as where they're meeting their partners. The other things that we look for is we look for public sex environments. So we know across the counties that we do prevention, and we know of the public sex environments that are happening. So various adult bookstores, and there's a couple of outdoor environments as well. So we do our best to get in there and do outreach and provide information. We're allowed to do that. Sometimes we're actually not allowed to do that. So we do our best with that. Another thing that we're doing is we're doing some advertisements on people's smartphones if they do go within a range of those public sex environments. So we're able to do this geofencing around these public sex environments. So if folks do go within a mile of that, then they will get an ad on their smartphone to come and get tested and to let them know we offer free testing and where we offer it and all of that.
Those are very sophisticated tools.
Yeah, we're really excited. That's a new one. We're really excited about that. And we're really just trying to stay as up to date with the changes in the ways that people are meeting each other as we possibly can. So we used to use Craigslist a lot to just sort of keep an eye on trends and where people are meeting each other and all of that. But with the Craigslist, personals have been taken down. So that was an unfortunate loss for us.
When you talked about the public sex environments, which I assume means exactly what it says, people are going there to hook up. So when you say sometimes you're not allowed, is it because these are privately held spaces and people don't want you around?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Some of them are privately owned spaces. And, you know, we do a lot of relationship building with those owners of those various places. But they're a private business, and so it is their decision whether they want to have us in there or not. And some of them, you know, they'll let us leave flyers and leave information. And so we're building that up. Some of it, there are some public sex environments that are actually outdoors, but sometimes they're not sanctioned by the community, and sometimes you would have to like trespass to get there. And of course, we can't do that as a business.
But you know, there's no judgment attached to this. I mean, I think with the last time we talked, HIV Alliance is really about harm reduction.
Absolutely. So we absolutely, we're all about non-judgment. It's actually one of our agency values. So we really, really do believe in that. I think, you know, we don't judge people's behaviors, and we don't know all the events that led up to where a person is in their life, and we don't judge people for hooking up in public spaces. And really, you know, it's helpful for us that there are these spaces that people are hooking up, because then we know where to go to find the folks we're looking for. So, you know, we don't pass judgment on people's behaviors. We just want folks to get tested, to access PrEP and other prevention tools, and to get into care if they do test positive.
Sean Schaefer, before you got on the call, we were talking about the End HIV campaign, and can you tell us what some of the components of that are?
Sure. Testing is one. You know, I mentioned the lack of screening for sexually transmitted infections in general, and that includes, of course, HIV. And one thing we know is that about 1,000 people live in Oregon without HIV, with HIV infection, without knowledge that they're infected. So they contribute to the spread unwittingly of HIV in our state. And if we were able to get everybody tested for HIV, and that includes not only the people who might be obviously at risk, like Amanda was talking about with public sex environments, but that means everybody, you, me, Amanda, and everybody who's listening, needs to be tested at least once for HIV. That's the recommendation of the Centers for Disease Control and other national organizations, including ourselves here in Oregon in the End HIV goal. Unfortunately, only about 50% of adults in Oregon have ever been tested for HIV. So you can't just look for the people in the known risk groups. So, you know, that's one of the most important of the three, is a goal for universal HIV testing. The second is one she mentioned, pre-exposure prophylaxis against HIV. So we know in the last decade that using medicines that are ordinarily used to treat HIV can actually prevent someone from acquiring it if they take it regularly and are at risk. So someone who gets syphilis or gonorrhea is almost by definition at risk for acquiring another HIV, another STD, including HIV. So those would be people we'd strongly recommend that they consider pre-exposure prophylaxis. So that's kind of leg two of the stool. And then the last leg of the stool, the third major goal of the initiative, is treatment of everybody who's known to have HIV. So we know now better than we ever did that the drugs that are used to treat HIV are so highly effective. Number one, they make someone's life expectancy after they acquire HIV the same as it would have been without it. And number two, they suppress the amount of virus that circulates in the person's system to such a degree that there's almost zero chance that they can spread the infection. So you can see why that's the important third leg of the stool.
So, but I'm still stuck on that number. 1,000 people in Oregon don't know they have HIV. Do you
right.
just figure this by based on Oregon's population?
Yeah, we do. We have some pretty sophisticated tools that, you know, frankly, I'm not the one who operates the levers on those, but CDC has got some pretty sharp folks that help us try to understand, based on our population and the rate of new infections, how many people are still living with HIV without knowledge of it. So they have no opportunity to take the medicines. They continue unwittingly. They're not doing this with malicious intent, but they're unwittingly spreading HIV because they don't know it.
Amanda McCluskey, just a couple of seconds. If people think, well, I think I got something, but I'm afraid to go to my doctor, where should they go?
Yeah, they can, if they look at HIValliance.org, we've got testing sites across the state, and we also have mail order home tests that we can send to folks, too. If they reach out to us, we can mail them a test that they can take at home.
Okay, we'll make sure we put the link to HIV Alliance up on our website at jeffexchange.org. Amanda McCluskey is the program director at the HIV Alliance based in Eugene. Dr. Sean Schaefer is the medical director for the HIV, sexually transmitted disease, and TB program at Oregon Health Authority. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.